This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. We got our girl Cece hanging out. It's the morning after awards night. How you feeling, girl?
Tired. Yeah. If I sound a little hoarse, I was screaming over people for, you know, 2 solid hours last night, so I apologize.
Yeah, you were out on the red carpet. You got to go to the awards. I'm sure partied a little bit afterwards.
A little bit.
What'd you think of the award show last night? You have a
good
time?
It was great. Yeah, it was so much fun. And we did, I did the carpet, and then we did, I'm over at Empire, and so they had Boozy's party afterwards. Yeah. So that's
the
really
Empire
where
folks know how to get down. Like, that is just
they do. They really do. And we had a great time.
Where was the party at?
Pushing Daisies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was a good spot.
So that's a good vibe.
It was. And it was like last year I performed at their party and it was a much bigger thing. It was like at a bigger place or whatever. This was like more chill and like intimate, I guess. And I really liked it.
I like the after parties that are more the hangs than the performance part of it.
Yeah, me too. I didn't get to, like last year, I don't even remember because I was just like focused on this one performance and that was, you know, my whole everything went into that. This year I actually got to kick back and have a good time and just hang out.
So how long have you been with the Empire folks?
Just over a year now. Yeah, just over a year. We put out the first album this September and now working on round two.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure a year ago, like you just signed and then you're out here for awards week and then you're kind of thrown into it. Then you're stressing about performing at it and you don't get to actually hang. But now I'm sure it feels like your crew, your family.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It's a reunion, seeing all
the peeps. It was good shit.
Yeah. So you're from Southern Illinois originally.
Yeah. I'm from a town of, well, as my dad says, I'm from 4 miles outside of a town of 300 in Southern Illinois. Yeah. My dad was a farmer whenever I was growing up. And so about, I guess it's like 3 hours from here.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like Illinois a lot.
Yeah.
We help out with the Tailgates and Tall Boys Festival every year up in Bloomington. So.
Oh my God. So my family lives in Decatur now.
Yeah.
And that's like 45 minutes outside of Bloomington. I'll fly out of there actually.
Oh wow.
Because I'm going to drive home after this and spend a few days with the family. And
that's awesome.
Fly out of Bloomington.
Yeah. Illinois for me, I know people think about like Chicago and places like
that.
It is very, very country. It is very, very rural. I enjoy going to Bloomington and I enjoy crossing the state border and being able to buy legal weed.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
I'm a California sober guy myself.
Bro, me too. I'm pumped to get back. I'm like, we got to get to Illinois.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but it's so funny. Just exactly like what you say. Like sometimes people will meet me or see me on social media or whatever and be like, why do you have an accent, sort of? Like, I don't have very much of one, but like, the farmers that I grew up with, you used to hardly, like, almost not even be able to understand them.
Yeah.
Like, they just, there's something about those, it's really just those rural parts of the country. Like, there's just a there's a dialect.
And you're right next to Kentucky, too.
So, we used to go to Paducah for school field trips.
Wow.
Like we went to have you ever been to like the little pioneer town that
they
have in Paducah?
Yeah.
That's like one of my classics.
I've stopped there on a tour stop before. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we used to do that in high school. So it's just funny. People see, they're like, you're from Illinois. What are you doing making country music? I'm like, also even Decatur, Illinois is where Alison Krauss is from.
Yeah.
So people just don't understand geography very much. I mean, I don't either, but I at least know the Midwest and the South a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I love going up there. I love hanging out in Illinois and it's always good folks and good people. And I didn't know Alison Krauss was from up there. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's so much music and when you have nothing, you don't really have shit to do.
You don't got shit to do.
You learn how to write songs and have fun.
And it's all flat. Like that. I mean, that is the kind of the thing about when I got out west to California and then I visited Wyoming and I've been to a couple of really cool places out west now where all the mountains are and things like that. And God, it just blows my mind because I spent so much of my life on just flat, cornfields.
Hiding, like, hiding from tornadoes and shit. Oh, you guys get hit. People don't realize how much Illinois gets hit with storms. Like, you guys are as much of a storm spot as anywhere.
I remember vivid childhood memories of like a tornado coming in and being like, and it, and just the energy of the whole house of like watching for the tornado. When do we go to the basement? There was a, there's this bait shop in Decatur that had an old, it's an old vintage bait shop, and it had this giant fish up on a post that was like its, that it was like its grand, like whatever. It just had been there for years and years and years. And when this tornado came through town, it shot like a 2x4 from a house through the lip of it. And they have left it there to this day because it was such an epic, like that tornado was devastating through that part of Illinois at that time, but they left it as like a mark of when it came through town. Yeah,
that's wild. So how long have you been out in LA now?
Since 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah, so I, but it, that's why it just feels kind of like, I don't know, 10 years always marks a change of, for me. Like there has been, when we lived in Southern Illinois and my dad was farming, we did that for like 10 years. And then for whatever reason, my dad was like, oh, I'm going to do some trucking and go work for Caterpillar up in Decatur. And so that's,
Caterpillar is as much as Illinois as it gets.
That's as Illinois as it gets, as working man as it gets. So that my dad went and worked for them. And so 10 years, and then we moved to Decatur, you know, and then I was there for about 10 years. And then my move to LA just kind of naturally happened. It was, it's so weird that just the way it kind of works out like that.
Yeah.
Now it's been about 10 years I've been in LA, and I'm just like, it might be time to.
Now, was it music that led you out there or what?
Yeah. I was on a TV show back in 2012.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that, The X Factor?
Oh, yeah.
Simon Cowell and all those crazy. Yeah. Well, I was on that show.
Oh, no shit. I had no idea, honestly.
Yeah, well, I looked very different. I had very long hair. I had leopard print painted on my face. I was just a different brand of crazy than I am now. But I was on that show back then, and I ended up getting like sixth place on the show.
Wow.
So it just, I made a lot of really great friends and people that I could potentially work with. So it just was the most natural move. I just knew more people there at that time than I knew in Nashville. So I was like, well, if I'm going to make this thing happen, I better get out where I can start working on this.
Yeah. So I've been to San Diego, and then I was out at that Live in the Vineyard this year.
Your
theater show was freaking awesome, by the way. You crushed
it.
But I've never been to LA.
Like,
what's the vibe like out there? Because I hear so many different things.
Listen, when I first moved to LA, it was like, can't believe that I'm here. Like, it was just, well, it was such a culture shock just in general. But to be honest, it's not what it used to be. And it's just because LA got hit very hard during COVID. And then, I mean, God, all the wildfires and stuff that just happened have been absolutely devastating. We're going to be rebuilding LA for the next 20 years. Like, it's rough. So I just think that it has gotten so expensive. It's really forcing people out. And ultimately, LA is made up of creators.
Yeah.
People that are out there. Like, yeah, there's celebrities out there. There's the rich, the famous, whatever.
But the celebrities are out there because they started as creators.
Exactly.
They're actors. They're doing art.
And they're grinding and working so hard. And so there's so much like blue collar, hardworking people in LA that damn near can't afford to live there.
Yeah.
So it makes it tough to be at that stage of your career and living in a city like that. It's really
difficult. I mean, you're going from a place that has more people in a bar or a restaurant than your hometown.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's why I don't go out.
Yeah.
I also just am not like that big on like all that, like as crazy as it may seem. I like a smaller crowd, a more intimate sort of setup, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like the hangs out there are different. It's a very late night town, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love coming to Nashville because people will be like, we're going to go to this event. It starts at 7. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, because LA, it's like more of an after party town where it's like 10 or 11 or probably even midnight getting to the club.
Yeah, dude, it's terrible. It's terrible. That's why I just don't go. Like, I don't even, I'm not even utilizing LA for what it's,
yeah,
what it's for.
But like you said, like every 10 years is kind of like a chapter it of is. A book of a person's life.
It is.
And it seems like it's been that for you, to where, yeah, LA is a chapter that led you to putting out Westward.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I feel like Westward, like it kind of speaks for itself, yeah, where you talk about growing up in small town Southern Illinois,
yeah,
and then you go Westward and, yeah, you're singing about, exactly, what you know from your hometown, but then your chapter of your 10 years being out there.
Yeah, totally. Westbound, totally.
Westbound, yeah, excuse me. Westbound.
No, it's all good. It definitely was that for me. It was telling that story. I mean, I'm from a town of 300 people. Like, I used to lay in bed at night and like stare at the ceiling as like a kid. And I don't know why like kids feel passion this way, but sometimes they do. And if you're out there and you got a kid and they are super passionate about something, like all I can say is just like feed that the way that my parents fed it into me. Like I used to lay in bed and just cry and be like, how am I gonna do this from here? I grew up on a gravel road, rocks in front of, like a gravel road surrounded by cornfields on all four sides of our house. And I was like, there's no shot.
Yeah.
And so that Westbound is definitely about doing that. And so the next project is really, it's about the arrival. It's about being there then and being thrust into this place where you, in LA, you really are sort of required to be a main character. If that's what you're, if you're out there to be an artist, if you're out there to do that and build a brand or whatever, you're required to be the main character. And so it sort of threw me into that Thunderdome of like creativity. You're around a lot of different types of creatives in LA. Nashville is amazing because it's so music centric.
Yeah.
But LA, you're surrounded with filmmakers, photographers, every kind of,
yeah, comedians are out there.
Oh my God. Yeah,
yeah,
dude. Like, and those are some of my,
oh, they're the best. Like, the comedians are the best. Those are the best hangs.
And they're the best hangs. I also, like, I am just so, such a goof. Like, I really am. And so I always tease my manager and stuff when I finish a show that they'll be like, oh, it was great. That one song was great. I was like, cool, but was I funny?
Yes. Were the people laughing?
Was it funny? And they're like, that's not your job. I'm like, yes, it is. You don't get it. I'm like trying to get a type five down for my, yeah, set. You know? Yeah, it's a big part, big for me. But yeah, no,
that's awesome.
It's cool that way.
Yeah. How did the creative process of getting Westbound going? Like, you, and kind of tell me the story of how you ended up with Empire and just,
totally,
how every, like, it seems like the last year has just been,
yeah,
a wild journey.
Yeah.
Like, it, and it flies by, doesn't it?
Yeah, dude. I can't believe it's been a year. It's, yeah, insane. No, I mean, I started making country music. I mean, I grew up in a small town. That's really all there, all you knew that there was.
Yeah.
So I started making country music. And then, like I said, I got on that show or whatever. And that was my first real intro into the scene, and just kind of how it all mapped out with the producers and the songs they were having me sing and whatever. I ended up more in this like pop sort of,
you're in LA,
genre.
I feel like, you know, if you've got a voice and you're something that people feel like they can market, they're gonna steer you to what's big in that area.
Yeah,
which is pop, which is hip hop. I mean, you were ahead of your time for country music coming out of LA.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, I tried to start my audition with Leanne Rimes' version of what is that? Unchained Melody. Yeah. So I tried to sing that. And they're like, no, we need something else. And I'm like, okay. So I just sang Christina Aguilera. And that's when they're all, you know, so I got all four yeses, whatever. And so that's how the whole journey was. And people really got to know me in that genre. They dyed my hair blonde. It was, I had long dark hair when I went on,
really,
the show. Never, like,
no shit,
long, very long. My mom cut my hair in our bathroom, like,
yeah,
like I'd never,
there's no hair salon right there.
I don't go to a hair salon.
No.
You know, so they sat me in a chair and they're like, you're going platinum blonde today. I was like, what, are you out of your mind? My mom's gonna kill me, you know. But I'm like, whatever, like, I'll do, you know, I'm just kind of down to give it my all.
And how old were you at this time?
20.
You were 20? Yeah. So you're...
So I'm like, sure.
You're college age trying to make it.
Yep.
Thinking, growing up thinking, there's no way in hell I'm going to get out of this cornfield.
Exactly. So I'm like, sure, I'll do it. Whatever. So I did the thing. And then when I came off the show, people really knew me for that genre. So I was in LA. I made some pop records, whatever. Put some out, but I wasn't... TikTok had not happened. People were still really navigating how to break as an artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, before COVID.
There was only so much you could say in a 7-second Vine.
1,000%, or on Instagram or whatever. And so, and there was no reels, whatever. So I, then COVID hit, and my partner Chase and I, who is from Tennessee, he was like, well, we got nothing to do. If you could make any kind of project, any kind of music, what would it be? And this is what's really funny, is I said, well, I guess I would put on a mask and I would hide my face and I would make an anonymous experimental country project. And he was like, oh. And I was like, and I'd have a different name. Nobody would know it was me. And I would like just be a faceless, anonymous, experimental country artist. And he was like, okay, what would that sound like? And I'm like, let's make a couple records like that. So we made, I mean, that's when we made Pretty Red Lights, was one of the first ones.
Wow.
And, well, shit, we finished it, and I was like, maybe this could be my song. And he was like,
there it is.
Yes,
proud of you,
maybe,
babe.
Maybe it could be your song. And I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, maybe I could just do this as me. Maybe I don't need to cover my face. I could just be me and do this. But it's weird. Sometimes as an artist, you have to like take yourself out of it in order to put yourself back in it. It's weird. You have to take away this version of yourself that you thought existed.
Especially when you had been doing it as long as you had been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of programmed to be this pop, be steered to this pop star.
Yeah, and it was weird because COVID too, the hair came off during COVID. I was just like, look it, I've always wanted to have short hair. Let's see what this is like. So I buzzed my head and I was like, damn. Feel very much like myself for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. I just feel very much like me. And we made those songs, and I was like, all right, well, I'll put them on the internet. So I put up Pretty Red Lights, and it took off and went a little bit nuts on the internet. And that's when, right about then, is when Empire reached out and was like, hey, we really like what you're doing, and put out a couple more records, and I signed over there. And you know, that Shaboozey hadn't even released Tipsy yet whenever they found me. And I had known of him and was very, very much like, this, if this is starting to be acceptable, what I'm trying to do could be next in line to, like, this could really kick open the door for me doing what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And they thought the exact same thing, you know? And so that's when I signed over there and we put out this record, All Boots happened right after.
Which, isn't it crazy that just a little hook from a song can do something like that and in a way change your life?
Yeah, totally. And that's what's beautiful about the internet. And I just never had that, never really knew how to utilize that resource before. And I think artists sometimes too are like, I write songs. I don't want to get on there.
I want to write songs. I want to put them out, and then I want to go play them for people.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that. I want that too, desperately, you know. But I also want this so bad and have believed since I was a child that this is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I'll just do whatever the fuck I got to do.
Yeah.
So if you want me to dance on the internet, I'll dance on the internet, you know. So I just started doing that. But for me, I really think that it's more – when you step into your authenticity, that's what really I think clicked, is that one of my first producers when I was like still in Illinois, driving into St. Louis, trying to do sessions or whatever, I would go into that session. This was right after the X Factor. I was trying to make my first single or whatever. And he was recording my vocals and he was like, if you want to be a pop singer, you're going to have to figure out how to take the twang out of your voice.
Wow.
Because every take is so twangy, it sounds like a country song. And I'm like, fuck. So I had to like try to figure out how to do that. And now it's so funny. When I go back and listen to those records, I'm like, oh my God, it sounds like Mush Mouth. It sounds like it doesn't even sound like me. And it's just so, I think, a really amazing thing that when you step into your most authentic self, people can feel that. And I think that's what's really happened with this music. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like you, if you go back and you did have the twang on those songs, it'd be ahead of its time.
Yeah, it would have.
You listen to Z100 or any of the big pop radio stations or any of the big pop playlists nowadays.
Yeah.
And Wallen's on there. And he's got as big of a twang as anyone. Yeah. He's from where your partner's from.
Yeah, like. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was when we started recording these records, like Chase, that's his name. And he writes a lot. Writes and produces a lot of the songs with me. And so he's tracking my vocals. And he's like, just sing it like you talk. Just sing like you talk. Sing like me, like you talk to me, you know? And I'm like, okay. And I just started doing that. And he was like, you've never sounded more like you on a record. And then when we show friends or whatever, or family, and they're like, this, I've never heard you sound more like yourself on a song. And that's when you know, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm on the right track, you know? So
yeah, you talk about busting your head back during COVID. I feel like that break, obviously COVID sucked. It was a very tough time. It's going to be a spot that the generations after us read about in books forever.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was a time where everybody kind of hit the pause button and really found themselves.
Yes. Yeah. You were forced to dive very deep inward.
It seems like you found yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Like you pre-COVID, I call it BC, before COVID. Yeah. That's what I like to say on stage. Everybody laughs at me with that.
That's so true.
And then how you came out on the other side, like you came out as more authentically you than you ever were as an artist.
Yeah. Well, because that there was so much fear during that time, especially during the early years of it, which is hysterical that I'm like during the early years of COVID, like,
yeah,
but it really
you
was.
You were also
it was
in LA.
Yeah. And that in LA, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're around so many people that are scared and people get crazy.
Yeah.
And when they're packed that tight, it was not a great place to be. But I was working still all through COVID, but there was a fear that everybody had. So I think it made you just go, what is really important? What would the 12-year-old version of me, what would she have thought was cool? That's what I was like going into. What would that little girl that was running around barefoot in Southern Illinois, what would she thought was cool? Well, she hung out with all the boys in her class. They rode their four-wheelers over to her house on the weekend so they could go mudding in the creek in the back. And she asked her mom to cut her hair off. My first haircut, when my mom always had me grow it out, and then I'd cut it and donate it. And every time I'd want her to get it shorter and shorter, because I told her that it got tangled at recess when I was playing kickball.
Yeah.
And I wanted short hair. And she was like, no, no, no. So I was like, well, she probably would have thought it was pretty cool to have a buzz cut. So
She would look at you as the biggest badass that the world has ever seen right now, girl.
Yeah, dude. So I'm just like, I don't know. I think during that time, we all really tapped into what was the most important.
Yeah. You talk about Boosie and being part of the Empire Fam and the genre blending that's going on right now and just you guys having an open highway as creators to do whatever the fuck you want to do, which has to be so freeing. Talk about like coming up right now in the time of like 2024, 2025 and really being able to do whatever you want.
Totally. I think that everybody is still liking to put people in these genre boxes.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fine. We'll always have a degree of that. But ultimately what people are discovering is that good music is good music.
Yes.
And you're allowed to like different things. And not one thing, not one genre needs to represent your entire identity. And that's the same for fans and creatives, I think. And creatives now are like, oh, I don't need to be confined to this one thing that I've always done or that people always know works. And I was just talking about this with someone. I think that this generation of creators was raised on playlists where Kendrick Lamar could be right next to Morgan Wallen, could be right next to Britney Spears, could be right next to, you know, all of these different genres. And it's created creators that have a broader palette of things that they like, things that they listen to, things that they're absorbing for inspiration.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing ever. You know, I just think that that is going to help us really make music that hasn't been done before. And that's kind of what I'm always looking for.
We all listen to everything.
Yeah, we all listen to everything.
Like if you were born in the early 90s or late 80s on, you listened to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially everybody used to be fed, it changed with streaming, but that you used to have a radio station. And if you had your station in your town that you liked to listen to, that's what you listen to every day. So you were only fed that collection of songs that they decided that you were going to listen to, you know? And now we just have access to so much. And I don't think it's something that we should fear. I don't think it's something that we should, like, you know, sort of put our hand up there. That doesn't mean there's not room for the incredible, like, traditional country artists that there are.
Country music is storytelling.
It is.
You tell stories. Shaboozy tells stories.
Yes.
Sam Hunt, when he was getting all of his flack with Body Like a Backroad, that's a story.
I love that.
Those are feel-good stories. Yes. But he also put out, like, the Make You Miss Me, where it was the sad shit.
Yeah.
Country music, good songs tell stories and create vibes.
Yes, a good song is a good song is a good song.
Yeah.
And that's just all there is.
Yeah, and it's vibes. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel sad. It makes you really think. There's so many different flavors out there that you can have. And I feel like with your stuff, you have moments where you're singing about real shit, you're sad.
Yeah.
But then, like, Boots is just, it's a fun. That has to be so fun to play live.
It is so much fun. And I've got a lot more bangers like that coming on the next project, because it is so fun. And I think for me, I guess I like to make people feel sad, or if that's what you need to feel or whatever. But more than anything, I like to make people feel like the baddest version of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want you to turn off my music and be like, I can fucking do anything. Like,
yeah.
I want all of the things that made me scared along the way. I hope that it helped me make music that will now make other people be brave.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's really my mission.
Yeah. What have been some of the messages that you've gotten from putting out All Boots? Like, because it is such, like, I think of it as like a bad bitch song.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a bad bitch record.
It's an empowering, like,
yes.
like you're telling this guy off,
yeah,
you know?
Dude. Well, my friends out in Wyoming, whenever they heard it, they were like, because my sister-in-law's out there, and she was just like, this is so real. Like, this is so real. We see this guy walk into Wyoming bars all the time. Like, we just know this guy. But I think for me, like, the messages just that I've gotten of it's always, not always, there are men too that reach out to me, you know, for other things other than to, you know, be weird. But there's a lot of women that are so happy to have someone that makes them feel like they can do anything. And I do think that when you watch someone else do hard shit, it makes you feel like you can also do hard shit.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that it was brave necessarily to buzz my head, but I still get the, like, you being so brave to do that. Like, I get so many messages of people being like, I just shaved all my hair off and I love it. I just cut all my hair off. I just did, you know, whatever. And I'm like, sick, let's go.
I jumped off the high dive and said, fuck it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yes, exactly. I think that's all. If you cannot stand behind the things that you're doing 110%, it's going to, people feel that. They can feel it. And it really, it shows in anything that you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're definitely preaching a great story right there.
Like, trying.
That's what it's all about. And you were talking about, like, having bangers in the tank. I feel like what we're missing, because I came up in the world of the 2010s country, and it's referred to as, like, the bro country, but it was just good vibes.
Yeah.
Like,
when country
music, when going to a show was, like, you're vibing and having fun.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and I think it made sense that we got all the sad songs that we did coming out of COVID, because, like, you think about the kids that are younger than us.
Yeah.
they didn't get to experience going to a house party or a college frat party or going out to the bars when they turned 21. Like, could you imagine turning 21 and the world shut down?
And they're not doing it still.
Yeah, like, that's actually taking them a while to come out. Like, bar sales are down.
It's bad. Like, yeah. I mean, Gen Z is not doing anything.
Yeah.
They are still like, but I also feel for them so much. If you're in your formative years and you have to go into isolation,
yeah.
No wonder everybody has social anxiety and doesn't want to leave the house.
And we're singing about sad, depressing shit. Yeah. Like, it makes sense, but
it does.
I want to get back to the era of just like, you're at a concert, you're having a cold drink, you're having a Surfside, you're smoking a little something, and you're just vibing out.
Yeah.
And hip hop had that, country had that, pop had that.
I want to feel that kick drum in my chest.
I want to be in the pit in that club and just feeling good.
Yeah, dude. Like, even if I'm in the car, like, even if I'm going to work doing something I don't want to do, I want that 10, 15 minute, 30 minute drive that I'm driving to work to be the moment of reprieve before I have to go to my stupid job. And I want to listen to songs that make me, you know, like, remember when Gretchen Wilson was out there being like, I'm a redneck woman.
I'm sure you grew up covering that for
redneck
years.
Redneck woman, like, here for the party, all jacked up, all of those, you know, Big and Rich. Remember the rowdy Big and Rich days?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to bring that shit back.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want people to party. It's time to
we
party.
We need that. And I always like to say, I mean, I joke about it with, like, friends that are not in the country world. I say that we're always a little behind, you know, like, what goes on in pop, like, even you look at it with, like, streaming and this and that, and we adopt a little bit later.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's starting to come back in pop when you see, like, the up-tempo fun songs that are coming out of the girls and the guys in the pop world.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's coming back. I think so too. I feel the energy. I think summer of 26 is going to
be lit.
I think summer of 26 into 27, we're going to get some happy shit.
We're going to get. We're ready for it.
People are going to be partying again.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I crave it. You know, like, and I don't even drink. I'm 10 years sober, but it's like, I miss the days of just getting after it and just having fun with your people.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Just listening to songs that made you feel good, you know? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so what's the process been like for you with choosing what's coming next after Westbound and all of that? Because it's a big task putting out a record like that.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge release for you, and the singles that came before it, and even the team did a great freaking job,
and it did
its thing. And
now,
but in the world that we're living in now, it's like, it used to be you'd get a Jason Aldean or a Carrie Underwood record once every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you lived with those songs, but now it's like you drop an album and it's like, oh, the consumer's like, oh, what's next?
Yeah.
What do you got for me now?
Yeah, and it's a good thing that I pretty much only operate in that gear.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, sure, okay, I got it. I got like 30 songs, I think, in the can to choose from for the next record.
That's a good little collection
it's
there.
It's a good collection. I need to add a few more to it before I really like round out the decisions for it. But I am... really excited for where it's at and where it's coming. I definitely think that it's gonna have it's just gonna be a rowdy record, to say the least. It's just gonna be a very rowdy, disobedient record.
That's good. You need that. You need people that shake it up.
I think so too. And who better to do it than a little bald bitch, you know?
That's awesome. That's great. What's it been like? You've been with WME for a little while, right?
Yeah.
What's it been like getting out there and doing shows? And how has that been for you?
God, I love it so much. It's been amazing. I got to go out on a run with Ashley McBride this year.
Oh, that had to be sick. Her crowd is awesome.
Her crowd is amazing. They love her so much, and they showered me with that love too, which is amazing. But I honestly just can't say enough good things about her. She is just a divine human being.
Yeah.
Like, she's so kind. She really, you know, they tell you don't meet your heroes, but when you do and they are everything you hope they will be, it can be a life-changing thing. And I think that that's what we're all in this position to do, so that when people do meet their hero, they take away something from it that they can use. And when I met her, I got to see how a boss in that position treats the people around her.
Oh yeah, she's so good. Her band, her crew.
She's like, so kind. Yeah. Every single person loves her, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it like that. I'm gonna do it like that. When it gets to be my turn to have a team that's this big, we're putting on a show this big, I get to have an opener, I'm gonna do it like this. Before every show, she would come and visit me in my dressing room and be like, you ready? It should be a good crowd out here in Reading. They're always really good for us, so they ought to be really good for you. I'm like, you don't need to be in here doing this stuff, but you're taking the time to like hype me up at your show.
Yeah.
You know, like it was beautiful, and it really did. It just,
and she's somebody too where she went through a long period. She had been in town for a while and had been doing it a while until she really got her shot to go out there and be Ashley McBride.
That's,
you know,
right.
So I'm sure that's something that you relate to with your journey of grinding in LA and the show, and then finding yourself, then having your moment. And
growing up in Illinois, I was doing dive bars and stuff just like she was. And we really connected over that. She's like, if you can get in a dive bar with truckers and bikers and drunks and whoever else that doesn't want to even be there and doesn't even care that you're there, and you can get that crowd into what you're doing, that is what can really round out a performer. So she and I just really like connected over that and got to chat about it. And yeah, it would, that part of it was amazing. And I got that opportunity through being with WME.
That's awesome. Where are some places that you've gotten to go that you really want to go back to? Like some of your favorite tour stops?
We went to this really cool place in Montana. It's called Happy's Inn. And it's this amazing like truck stop venue right off.
That sounds so on brand for you. It's not even funny.
It's so amazing. Like it's hard to describe because it's in the middle of the mountains in Montana. You drive through the mountains and then all of a sudden off to the side of the road, there's Happy's Inn, and it's this restaurant, bar, campsite on a lake that then has like this big this big stage in the back, and like all of these vendors of like beer trucks and stuff that set up on the side. And so it's obvious that like everybody from like a 30-mile radius just comes to this one.
It's
like
that watering hole.
Yeah. And so it was, I met this guy, I was like, I don't even have to take a road to get here. I just follow the river down there, and I just get, you know, I can just walk here by following the river. And I'm like, that's awesome, you know. But I love Montana so much. Like, the mountains, the views, it's just like
that's
so
the
stunning.
One part of the country I haven't really been to.
Really?
Is the Montanas, the Wyomings, the Idahos. It's the one spot I haven't been to.
It is like, seriously, it feels like you go there and you're like, yeah, only God could have made this. Like, it's weird. Like, you just, the way the light hits the mountains and stuff, the way that it, like, it just breaks through the clouds differently out there, like around Yellowstone and seeing all those mountains and stuff, the way it, like, goes off the hills. It's just very weird. The light hits different out there. It's just very,
it probably
stunning.
Makes you feel so small because the mountains and the landscape and the skyline is just so big.
Yeah, it does. It's just stunning. It's just like, it'll take your breath away.
That's awesome. So what do we have geared up for next year?
Hopefully releasing this new album, if I can get it all tightened up. But that's really what I love this time of the year for. Everything gets kind of slowed down a little
bit. Yeah, award season's kind of the closeout of the calendar year. And then there's like a few like holiday parties mixed in there and stuff. Yeah. But that's...
So I'm going to be hanging out more. And really, when I don't know, I can't write songs whenever I'm too stressed, like got too much going on. I need to have my nervous system be nice and like relaxed to get into that like creative sort of mood. And so that's what this time of the year is about. So I'm hoping to round out the album during these couple winter months and then hit the ground running in January and start dropping some bangers.
That's awesome.
I'm so excited. I've
That's
got
awesome.
Some fun songs.
Talking about your partner, your fiance Chase.
Yes.
What's it like being with another creative and kind of tell the story? He's from East Tennessee. I love East Tennessee, by the way. Yeah. Where in East Tennessee is he from?
Well, actually, he's hang on. So where's White House High School at? Isn't it
White House?
Close.
White House is like
I care.
Lighthouse here. Oh, so he's from here.
He's from here.
Oh, he's from here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I might have said East Tennessee earlier. Yeah.
So I was thinking East Tennessee. I'm thinking like Bristol or Knoxville.
His
or
mother is from East Tennessee.
Okay.
But he grew up around this area, and they moved around quite a bit around Tennessee, and then they went to Virginia, North Carolina.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
So he spent a lot of time in the South, and you know,
and so he's familiar with the Middle Tennessee area.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
how'd
yeah.
you guys get linked? Okay.
I
love Hendersonville.
Yeah,
me and my girlfriend spend a lot of time in Hendersonville.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a great spot. Stunning. On the lake and all that. It's beautiful. But how long have you guys been together?
It's 8.5 years.
Oh
now.
No shit.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, being with another creative it can be great or it can be horrible.
Yeah.
I've done it both ways. I've been with another artist and it was, oh my God, I swore I would never.
The artist dynamic is different than the artist producer or writer.
He started as an artist as well.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I really just think it's about, it's really about a person, you know,
yeah.
Like he is just not like, he's an artist at heart. He is like, so, I don't know how to, God, he's just like so indescribable. You sort of have to meet him, but he's just like the perfect person to go into any situation with. I don't know how to describe
it. He's a ride or die.
He's like, yeah. He's just such the light of any room that he walks into, the life of any party, the funniest guy you will ever meet in your life. And as somebody that like, it's so weird. I do this career and I like to be on stage and make this music or whatever, but I actually don't like to be the center of attention. It actually really stresses me out. So to be able to go into a room with Chase and just kind of like, let him put on the show right now because he's just like, he's so entertaining. Like he needs to be, honestly, like he's a comedian. He needs to be in movies. He should be on SNL. Like he should be doing
that's
that.
Awesome.
But when you get a chance to work with your significant other as in-depth as we have over the last... We met in a songwriting session, a blind session out in L.A.
No shit. That's basically like a blind date.
It was like a blind date, for sure. And the managers that we had at the time just like randomly knew each other and set us up to write for a different artist. I think we were writing for like Rita Ora or something
like
that.
Okay, yeah.
And we went in and instantly this guy has me cracking the fuck up. I'm just
the
like,
first key to a woman's heart. Any guys out there, if you can make a girl laugh.
At least for me, that is my kryptonite.
Same thing with my girlfriend. She's
man, if you're funny,
big into the funny.
I am just, yeah. I'm out. Like, I will, like, funny to me is the quality that's hotter than like any physical attribute. It doesn't hurt that he's also incredibly handsome as well. But,
there you go.
But we bonded immediately just writing because we just worked very well together. And through doing this, it of course it's presented a lot of challenges with us, you know, being together and also working together and stuff. But those challenges have actually then improved our romantic relationship as well, because you learn how to navigate those as a team. And that's really all life is, all doing a relationship is. I don't believe in soulmates. I don't believe in like some special sauce that somebody is just like, you're meant to be person. And when you find them, it's just going to all work out and you're going to have the most beautiful, happy life. Like, no, you have to wake up every day and choose that person over and over and over again and choose every day to get through the shit. And trying to do music is hard.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard on him too. I'm trying to do it as an artist. He's doing it as a writer, as a producer, equally hard in its own way. But also us being able to relate. So without even saying a word, we just get it. We just get what each other is going through. It's really, really special.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you had, like, you have your guy. Like, that's
the best. He's the best.
It's so important to have somebody, like, to have the right person that gets it.
And he lifts me up so much. Like,
you need a hype man. And I'm sure you're his hype man,
yes,
you know?
Yes, I try to be. Like, he is infinitely, like, just the best at it. Like, he's everybody's best hype man. He's that guy. That's like, great. You meet Chase and he's just like everybody's hype man. So I really am inspired by him and admire him and want to be more like him. And I think that that's really what also you should have in a partner, is somebody that inspires you and that makes you want to, like, I don't know. It all is great. I'm very lucky.
That's awesome. We're very lucky. That's great. So what do you hope people have been getting from Westbound? Like, what do you hope it makes people feel like?
Oh, man.
I know I hit you with a heavy one here towards the end.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. I was just trying to think what I hope they just see somebody trying. I hope they really just see somebody trying. I think that they, like, really giving it your all, for some reason over the last few years, became like this cringy quality. I don't know. Like in Gen Z, like if they see people trying, they're just like, oh my God. Like,
oh my God. Effort. Look at that girl. You know, look at that guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck that noise. I hope you see me trying so hard. I hope you see a girl that had to really, really try to get from where she was to where she is going and beyond. And I hope that it inspires people to, whatever it may be, like, might not be music for everybody, but I guarantee every single person out there has something that they're like, you know, I always wanted to start that business, or I always wanted to go do this or go back to school, or, you know, I don't know, whatever it may be, go do that thing. And even if it doesn't, like, work out the way that you thought it was going to work out, what you will learn along the way of that challenge will, it will make you a much deeper person.
Yeah.
Like, you know that saying, I don't know, suffering deepens you. Like, I have come to this theory with my journey in music, is like, there has been so much suffering along the way that at times you go, why am I still doing this? Like, why? Maybe I should do something else. Maybe this is too hard, and it's too hard because it's not meant to be. And what I realize is, like, everything in life is gonna make you suffer.
Yeah.
Everything is gonna be hard, no matter what it is, whether it's the safe job or the risky job or the dream or the comfort, whatever it's gonna be. It's going to be hard either way.
Yeah.
So choose your hard. And I think that this thing that I'm trying to do was presented to me, and it was instilled in me as like this calling, because it's been the challenge that I was supposed to pursue in order to deepen me and make me into the person that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I feel that.
Yeah, get out there and try. Even if it's hard, even if you fail, it's not failure. It's just a lesson learned at a cost. You know? That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
You're hyping me up. I'm ready to go run through a freaking brick wall, sis. Let's go. I freaking love that. Well, hey, thank you so much for hanging out.
No,
and
thank you.
And coming out on this rainy morning after the
heat. I love it. I love the rain. It's great.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, safe travels back home to Illinois, and then safe travels, and hope to see you out here in Nashville more too.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll be back. I might be moving back, honestly.
I mean, hey, welcome. The city would be better with you and Chase in it. Seriously.
Yeah,
so love that. And thank you so much. We got a bunch of hats over there. You take one for Chase too, if he's a hat guy. So go through and grab some of what we got over there. And I'll send you home with some Surfside as well.
Oh,
you guys can
bring that
up to Illinois with you. Enjoy.
Oh yeah, we'll need it.
Enjoy some of those iced teas. So that'll be good. Well, y'all be sure to go check out our girl CC Westbound. It's out right now, and I'll be on the lookout for all the bangers. 2026 going to be the year of CC bangers. We're bringing back the fun, the party, the rowdy.
That's right.
And for more on us, visit RaiseYourRowdy.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. Sunshine in a can. It's not a seltzer. It's a Surfside. And we will see you all next time. For my girl CC, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you